Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, I hope you all have had just an absolutely fabulous holiday, and we have a guest today. You know, we were going through the throes of getting busy because we were preparing foods for Food and Family, and it's just such a wonderful thing to do. I love to cook, and I know how much that means. But we are going to be talking about a different aspect about food, about nutrition. But we're going to be talking about our animals, and John D. Rowe is my guest today, and I want to tell you that his book, Animal Nutrition, in my estimation, is something that if you have a pet, it is a must read because of the research he's done, and we're going to share some information with you. John, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Donna. My pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a delight having you. Now, John, you have had a love of animals all of your life. You are involved with animals all of the time. And in your book, you start off with a story about if you don't know what you're feeding your dog, it's a major problem. Tell us your personal experience.
Well, yes, that's very true. My personal experience was the first English setter that I ever acquired. This is a wonderful dog. Her story is, like, as you alluded to, is in the first chapter of my book. And when she was only 9 years old, she became sick one day, and shortly she was dead. And I'd been taking her to a veterinary internist, and this gentleman was not a typical political correct veterinarian. He looked me in the eye and he said, "You killed your lovely English setter. Did you know that?" And I said, "No. What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, do you know what you fed her?" And I said, "Well, I fed her whatever was popular or whatever was advertised as the best." And he said, "Well, if you'd read the ingredients," and, you know, I told him what the brand was, and he said, "If you'd read those ingredients, you would see that there was a carcinogenic preservative in that food." And he said, "That's what destroyed this dog's liver and kidneys." And so from that day forward, I had a lot of grief built up inside of me and a lot of bitterness towards the pet food industry and our government, which is an uncontrolled industry. So I decided that for the rest of my days, I was going to try my best to educate the public so that they could prevent this from happening to their animals. And so that's how I got involved with all this.
Now, right in that very first chapter, you talk about how when you were feeding your animals, you were like so many of us that have been indoctrinated that for the animals, high protein was very important. Dogs and cats are carnivorous. They need the protein. And part of what we are going to be talking about here is the myth about the protein. And you need to explain to us why the high protein is a myth.
Well, there are several myths associated with it. You could talk for 2 hours about protein. And the first myth is that everything in pet foods is stated as crude protein. That means there is no way to know what the real digestible protein is in that food. And processed foods, 90% of the pet foods on the market are corn and wheat foods. So that in itself, I guess you'd say sort of an oxymoron here. They have to put synthetic stuff in there in order to get the protein up. The protein, high protein, sort of a trendy word that the public was indoctrinated with by the pet food industry to make them think that if it's high protein, then that's what your animal needs, and you don't need it. You don't need to know anything else. So it's another deceptive phrase that was put in here by the pet food industry that is so hard to define, except in one instance. Now, if you're feeding a premium food that's a meat-based food, then you're getting a quality protein. And an animal only needs really high protein when they're growing. Puppies, it's just, I mean, they're no different than we are. They don't need this as they're growing older because it's hard on their kidneys. And in hot climates, it's especially harmful because the dogs perspire. The only way they can perspire is through the pads on their feet and through their tongues. And high protein food produces heat. So if this animal is staying outside a lot or is exercising, you sure don't need that high protein food. Other than, like I say, when they're a puppy, and you'll notice that the senior foods will have a lower protein content listed, and more active dogs, endurance foods will have a higher protein. But like I say, it's a deceptive phrase.
It used to be with animals, dogs. Let's say if you had a farm, they ate what you ate. It was whatever was available. The cats maybe would catch mice or whatever was available for them to catch, and then they often, and I can remember being told this when I was a kid, cats love milk, you know, this is what you do, and then they'd eat fish, but that was a whole different level of thinking. And people today, and I tried this, we have two Scotties we adopted a year ago, and my Scottish Terriers could not eat canned food. And so, for whatever reason, they were just having problems. Well, I've had dogs before, so I always prepared their food. And I thought, well, gee whiz, maybe I could use canned food once in a while. But I cannot. My dogs do not fare well on it, so I prepare their food all the time. And our Scotties have, excepting for one that got cancer, have lived very, very long lives. In fact, they've been surprising to different people that have been around Scotties, because their Scotties are supposed to live to be about 14 or 15 years old. They're now dying around 8 or 9 years of age. And it is something that I became aware of. So when I read your material and you made a statement that a dog could easily live to be 16 to 18 years of age, you didn't specify a size, and cats can live to be well over 20. Well, I've known a lot of people that have had cats that have lived long. Recently, we had the situation with the food that had been imported from China, and I personally know about three, possibly four families who had animals that died from eating the food that had this in it, and also were weakened. There was a couple of those families. Their animals were so weakened that the vet told them they didn't know how much longer they would be able to live. And some of these were small dogs, and, you know, there were a couple that were like Rottweilers. So your book gives so much insight into this. And we're going to talk about the recipes you have in the book. Tell us about the AASCO. Who are they? What do they do?
Before I explain that a little bit, let me tell your listeners this, which I'm sure they do not know. Back around June, the middle of June, there was 250 pet foods that had been recalled. The media has totally gone silent about pet foods. If you will check my website, there's a link on there. There's now more than 1,100 pet foods that have been recalled.
1,100?
This shows the severity of it and how... personally, I think the government's been bought off by the pet food companies or whatever, and they just ignored it. It's not hot anymore. They don't want to put it on the airwaves. But you can go to my website. Everything's free, of course. Click on that, and you can check and see, because many of these foods, these recall foods, are still sitting on the shelves. AFCO, AAFCO. It's American Association of Feed Control Officials. That supposedly is the regulatory agency who pet food companies have to go to have their food certified. Well, that sounds well and good. And they have a catalog that you can buy. I think it's $50. Or if you buy my book, it's a lot cheaper, and excerpts of this book manual are in my book. And in there they describe everything you need to know if you personally want to develop your own pet food.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great, except for one thing. Each state, well, first of all, AFCO is made up from of individuals from each state in the country make up this organization, and then they design these protocols for developing the food. Okay, that sounds good, except this. Each state is then required to make their own regulations of whether they want to require pet food sold in their state to be certified by this organization. Some of them don't. And in some states, anyone can produce their own pet food and sell it. And I remember when this was done widely in Texas. And I don't know what the regulations are today, but at that time, you could go to any feed mill and pick up the scraps after they finish making cattle or horse feed or whatever, and they take the scraps and make them into pet food, and it's widely sold. So anyway, this shows how convoluted this industry is. But then we go back to AFCO and see the things that they allow in our pet foods, and those are the excerpts that I put in my book, along with the definitions of ingredients. And that is the single most important thing anyone can do, not only for the animal, but for themselves and their family. Because, listen, a carcinogenic preservative is used still today in pet foods, and it's widely used in human food. It's in nearly all the cereals, it's in crackers, it's in bread, it's BHA, BHT, and a complete definition of that is also included in my book for readers to see firsthand, and this is the government agencies that we have, you know, looking out for us.
Ethoxyquin, I believe I'm pronouncing it correctly, is one of the items that you mention, and I was appalled, because I was not familiar with this, I was appalled that this is something that's used as an ingredient in herbicides and as a rubber preservative.
Yes, ma'am.
And as humans, it's never been approved as a preservative, but in pet foods, it is. Now, they're much smaller than we are.
Well, that was what killed my my first setter, Lizzie, and that preservative is still listed in the AFCO manual as a preservative that's available if you wanted to use it. However, when I wrote my first book in 1997, I came out against this ethoxyquin preservative. And I was fortunate to get a lot of radio and TV exposure. I wrote for a newspaper, had my own radio show for a while. So with the public's help and with the media exposure, I put a lot of pressure on those companies. So the public, I told them, pick up the phone and call these companies and tell them you're not buying their food anymore. And the people did it. And within 18 months after my book came out, due to public pressure, not me, but due to public pressure, that ethoxyquin preservative disappeared out of pet food. And what I'm trying to illustrate here is that people think they can't make a difference. Well, let me tell you, public pressure is the greatest thing in this country. We can change anything we want if people will stand up one at a time. And you can do this with your pet foods, also with human foods. And the message you can send to these companies is leave the food on the shelf. If you don't know what's in that food, or if you read the ingredient label and don't understand it, put it back. Tell the people, tell the manager of that store when you walk out, I'm not buying that food anymore. It's got, you know, a product in it that, you know, I'm not gonna be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're the only country that allows chemical preservatives in all of our food. We're the most liberal country in the world when it comes to this.
Well, I know that I have been in stores, and I have looked at things because of my experience with my own pets. And knowing what chemicals, how my one Scotty developed cancer because of being exposed to a poisonous compound. And I talked to some other people whose dogs had been killed by poisonous compounds. Diet is so important. And just as we are becoming more and more aware because we're asking questions and people are communicating information like you are and like I try to do, then we are beginning to question. We're wanting answers. And so we're forcing change. Now, I know in Europe, they have very strict rulings about many, many things. And I'm not saying they're perfect in a lot of it, but they seem to be way ahead of us. When I read through your book, you were talking about Taiwan, who is one of the primary manufacturers of a lot of inexpensive chews for dogs and different food products. Lots of times, we do not know that these foods are coming from places outside of the United States that have no quality control standards. And they found, as you stated in your book, that there was special illnesses that were being caused because of the lack of concern about what was going into these foods.
That's true. It's not only the, you know, it started back in April with melamine. We now have a problem with E. coli, we have a problem with salmonella, and we have a problem with botulism. All of these things have added to the recall list in pet foods. And if someone's getting bored hearing us talk about pet food, well, let me say this. This is a very poor industry that's only inspected. The pet food companies, only about 30% of them are inspected in 3.5 years. And the pet food processing plants are never inspected until there's a death. An animal dies. Well, as bad as this sounds, the inspection process for pet foods is better than what's going on with human foods. And this is something that people can learn about in the last part of my book, is that this is not just about pets. None of our pet foods in this country that we're presently producing could be sold in Europe because their standards are so much higher. They don't allow corn and wheat and byproducts and all these sorry foods, ingredients, to be produced in a pet food because they know they don't have a place in the food for a carnivore. Their corn and wheat and byproducts, that's something that omnivores eat, humans eat, but it's not the primary ingredient that pets need. They're a carnivore. They need a meat-based product. The first 5 ingredients on those pet food bags is 98% of all the food that's in that bag. And the number one product that's listed will be about 70%. So you can see how important it is that those first ingredients are the ones that you need to be directed to and know what they mean. There's a pet food Bible on the back of my book that you can tear out a few pages, and when you go shopping, it tells you the good, the bad, and the ugly, what to buy and what not to buy. And if I'm not getting ahead of myself here, people think that they must buy pet food according to their budget, that they can only spend $25, so they're going to go buy a huge bag of Pedigree or Old Roy because that's all they can afford. Well, if you will look at the feeding and the feeding instructions, how many cups it takes per animal, per weight, you will find that you can feed a premium food. Yes, it's going to cost you about twice as much. But listen to me now. I'm going to tell you, it cost more to buy it initially. It cost less to feed it. A bag of O'Roy or a bag of Pedigree for a 110-pound dog, which I have here, requires 8 to 12 cups of food a day. Well, I feed him a premium food. He gets 2 cups of that premium food a day. He's on the cover of the book.
Mm-hmm.
He gets 2 cups of premium food a day and 1 cup of my wife's recipe, which she's been cooking for 19 years. So he gets a total of 3 cups a day. Now, if you will equate that to a $20 bag of food versus a $40 premium food, you will see that that premium food is going to last a lot longer than the cheap food. But this is something that's really hard for the public to get in their mind, because all they see is the initial cost.
It is. It's a type of thinking that you really have to be attuned to. Let's talk about the chemicals, the cancers, and the poisons. You have a chapter on this, and to me this is so significant because research is becoming more and more public regarding this, how our exposure to toxins, to various pesticides and other things, are affecting our cellular communication in the body. And we have a lot of diseases that were very, very rare at one time, but now they're becoming prolific because of the change in our cellular construction and the way the body is dealing with all of this stuff. And as humans, we are experiencing this, and it definitely is having an effect on the animals on all levels. You were talking about Texas in your book and arsenic. This just blew me away.
Well, today in Toledo, Ohio, there's a company which the FDA admitted is still putting melamine in feed for cattle, sheep, and goats.
Mm.
And that is, of course, they're slaughtering, it goes into the human food chain. And the statement they made about this company was that even though they know that it's being done, they accept it because their statement was that a little bit of poison in our human food will not harm us. But medical facts totally contradict that. That, you know, when we ingest these poisons, it's like a bunch of gang members. A gang leader by himself is pretty harmless. But when he has a group of 15 or 20 or 30 that are with him, then they can do a lot of harm. And that's exactly what happens with these toxins. When we ingest these things, we don't pass them. They reside in our body. They're floating around as free radicals. And when these things finally come together, just like those gang members, that's when they metastasize and we wind up with a cancerous tumor. And this is nowhere is this more evident than the recent study that was done with the umbilical cord blood of newborn babies. They found over 300 separate different chemicals in that blood. And not only was it pesticides and herbicides, it was chemicals that reside underneath our sinks and in our bathroom cabinets, the things that we're using every day. And the reason for this is because no one reads those poisonous, dangerous labels that are on those things. If people would read those, they wouldn't buy them. And again, these things you won't find in much of Europe. I'm going to be considered radical when I make some statements here, but I'll give you the facts first. Our health care, well, first of all, in this country, the most technologically advanced country in the world, we lead the free world in cancer. We are number one. We lead the entire world with the most incidence of the top 6 diseases. our health care is twice per capita of what it is in Great Britain. That's twice per capita. Now, health care in the United States is 16% of the GDP.
Mm-hmm.
And when was the last time on your TV, along with all of these drug commercials, I mean, there's literally a drug in an evening, you can find a drug for nearly anything you want advertised on TV. When was the last word you ever, the last time you ever heard the word by our government, by a drug company, by a news media that said prevention? It's not out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is coming out there because we're talking about it right now, and we're talking about it with animals, which is going to be a direct reflection on us and what we are going to be doing in our own lives. I want to talk about your wife's recipe. And by the way, for those of you listening, this book is absolutely fabulous, Animal Nutrition, How to Feed Your Pets a Nutritious and Safe Diet in the World We're Living in Today. John Rao is my guest. And, John, your wife, she does what I've done. I mean, I've been cooking for my dogs for years. And you've even got in here a birthday cake for dogs, which I thought was a hoot when I read that, a cookie recipe, which I really, really want to do. I haven't yet fixed it. You've also got an allergy diet that can be used with animals that are very sensitive. And I wanted to share her basic dog food recipe. It's 3 chicken quarters, 4 large carrots, slice of squash or a zucchini, add 2 tablespoons of chopped garlic, and you put everything in a crock pot, and you cover it with chicken broth or water, and you just let it cook. And when the meat is tender, falling off the bone, you remove all of the bones from the chicken and then take the juice from the crock pot to cook 3 cups of rice. And then you mix the meat and the veggies, everything that's been in the crock pot, in with the rice. And there you've got the nutrition for your animals. And I know that I add vitamins, I add E, I add, you know, some other things to it. And this is something that the animals just seem to thrive on. And so you've got all of these wonderful, wonderful recipes in here. You've got the cookie recipe, which I'll be giving out later. But, John, I know we're almost out of time here. Give us your website, because you have all kinds of wonderful information.
Yes, it's www.animalnutritionbook.com. And or if you can Google me, just Google Animal Nutrition, and I have been number one on there for some time, so you can find me that way. But please visit the website. I try to keep it updated as often as I can with what's going on with the recalls. And there's an email address if I can help you personally in any way. That's what I'm all about, my passion and love for these animals.
Well, it's obvious, and I know from personal experience how very, very important this is, because diet has such a tremendous influence on us as individuals, but our animals, they're totally dependent on us. They rely on us. We're not living in the wild and woolly world of the far north and where animals can just go out and get it themselves. No, these are our pets. They're dependent on us. And I think it's so important that people like yourself are out there and are speaking up and to learn that 1,100 brands have been recalled is just mind-boggling. I didn't know there were that many brands out there. 1,100. Amazing. John, thank you so much for being my guest. For those of you listening, go to John's website, animalnutritionbook.com, animalnutritionbook.com. You can also Google him, John D. Rowe, and his last name is spelled R-O-W-E. His book, Animal Nutrition, will give you the inside track and factual information. This isn't something he's making up. This is something that he has really dedicated his life to. And if you care about your animals, if you care about yourself, this is education that is worth having. John, thank you again for being my guest. And we are going to be going on break. Don't go away. We're going to be back with more good things.
Thank you, Don.
You are welcome, John.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and I hope you had an absolutely awesome holiday. I know I did. And in fact, I've got to share something with you about this wonderful holiday we just finished. But if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to do exactly that. Here are the toll-free numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Now, I wanted to welcome those of you who are joining the Donna Sebo Show for the first time. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, what this is all about is my giving a reading to you over the air. I just need your first name or your initial, and then after that, let me do my thing, and then when I finish, you're welcome to ask a question about anyone or anything that you like. Remember, I'm an information resource, and I'm delighted to be able to share this with you on the air. Now, we just finished listening to John Rowe, and his book, Animal Nutrition, is just absolutely incredible. But I wanted to share a couple of recipes with you, because if your animals are like mine, as you know, I have two Scottish Terriers, Victor and Kinsey, you want to be able to feed them things that are going to taste good and that are going to be good for them. And Scottish Terriers, they will tell you, should never have corn, and they should have a minimum of any kind of a wheat product. Well, what I typically do is cook up meat and vegetables, and I serve it with rice. Now, this is a cookie recipe, and this is something that John's wife has been fixing for their dogs for years, and this is how it reads. It's 6 slices of cooked bacon, 6 slices of cooked bacon, and it needs to be well cooked, the fat rendered out. And of course, you're going to crumble that up after it cools. You need 4 well-beaten eggs. You need 1/8 cup of bacon fat, 1 cup of water, 1/2 cup of non-fat dry milk powder, 1/2 cup of non-fat dry milk powder, 2 cups of graham flour, 2 cups of graham flour, 2 cups of wheat germ, 2 cups of wheat germ. Now, in this recipe, she uses 1/2 cup of cornmeal. And what you do, you mix ingredients with a strong spoon, and you drop it by heaping tablespoonfuls onto a greased baking sheet, and you bake it in 350-degree oven for 15 minutes, and then you turn off your oven and leave the cookies on the baking sheet in the oven overnight to dry out. And what it'll make for you is about 4 dozen dog cookies. Now, if you want to make a birthday cake, you take 1 1/2 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 1/2 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 1/2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 1/2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 cup of butter, a half a cup of butter. You need a half a cup of oil, half a cup of oil, and then one jar of strained beef or liver baby food. And that's about a 2.5 ounce jar. A jar of strained beef or liver baby food. 4 eggs, and then 3 strips of dog beef jerky. You want to crumble that up. 3 strips of dog beef jerky crumbled. And then you can use plain yogurt for dogs or cottage cheese for dogs or cats for the icing. And this is how the recipe reads. Sift flour and baking powder together. Set it aside. In a large bowl with an electric mixer at medium speed, you cream your butter until smooth. Add your oil, your baby food, and eggs. Mix until smooth. At a low speed, you gradually beat in the flour mixture into the beef mixture until the batter is smooth, and then fold in the beef jerky and pour it into a well-greased and floured 8x5x3 loaf pan. And you bake it in a preheated oven for 70 minutes. Let it cool on a wire rack a few minutes before removing from the pan to cool completely. And, of course, you can ice each slice with yogurt or cottage cheese for dogs or with cottage cheese for cats, and it gives you 1 8-inch loaf. And maybe you would want to change the type of flour. You might want to experiment with it. But it is something that's a basic recipe that you could look at using for your animals. And let's face it. Our fur people love to have things they can crunch on. And remember, with the cookie recipe, it's to stay in the oven overnight so it gets nice and hard. And my Scotties just love treats. So I haven't tried that one yet, but I'm looking forward to doing it. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open. If you would like to give me a call, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227 is the number to call in the U.S. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. I'll tell you, we had such a marvelous holiday yesterday, and we went over to visit some friends. And so I decided I was going to fix dessert. I've always loved to bake. So the hostess loves chocolate with a passion. And I just call it my gut feeling. I decided I was going to pull out one of the recipes that I have had for years. It's called a Creole chocolate cake. A Creole chocolate cake. Now, this cake is so simple to make, and you can make it the day before you take it over to a function, and the flavors mellow like you would not believe. And if I have time this afternoon, I want to share this recipe with you. It was such a success that one of the guests at the party, as soon as they took their first bite, they looked over at me and said, "I'm following you home." And there wasn't one person that had a piece of this that didn't rave about the deliciousness of the flavors. You have dates in it, raisins, nuts, you have whipped cream, but I'm going to share this with you because it is a winner. It is absolutely awesome. And I'll tell you what, I will fix it again and again for any place I go where I know people are going to want to have something that is melt-in-the-mouth yum. So get that pad of paper out and have it handy because we're going to be sharing that with you. Now, I know there are so many people out shopping until they're dropping today. This is the biggest buying day of the year. And I had a friend call me this morning, and we were going to be going out for lunch and this type of thing today. And she said, "Forget it. I'm not going there. Do you know the parking lots everywhere are totally packed with people? It's unbelievable." She said, "Donna, this is insanity. We won't even be able to get parking at any of the places that we've considered to go to meet for lunch." So we were continuing our conversation, and to my shock, I learned that in her area of the neighborhood, there is a large shopping mall, which I knew about, but I was not aware that one of the stores was open at 3 a.m. this morning to give out tickets for certain merchandise because the store itself was going to open at 4 a.m. She asked me, Donna, would this be a part of what you would consider doing? I said, are you kidding? Being up at 3 a.m. to go sit in a parking lot, and it's cold down here. It's below freezing. Up here, I sit down here, but here in the state of Washington, our temps have really gone into winter temps. We have been 29 degrees. That's what it has been. So it's been pretty cold. But people were camping out. And at 6 a.m. this morning, the parking lots of many malls were absolutely jammed with people waiting to get in to the front door. So if you're one of those, I hope you go into the archives to hear the show. But I am just astonished, as my friend was. So we've opted to stand down on this. And I have to share something that was asked of her. This was so cute. There's a friend of hers that she has, she's known for many years, who's in retail. And he said, well, the sale that we're having at this time prior to Christmas, of course this is just for the weekend, they're going through these sales, we are also going to have a similar kind of sale in February. She said, oh, really? He said, yes. She said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll wait for the February sale. And he said, no, you don't understand. People won't have what they want for Christmas. She said, that's okay. I'll cut out a picture. I'll wrap it up, put it in a box, and I'll give it to whoever wants it so that they'll know in February they'll get the gift. It was just amazing. He said, women don't think like that. She said, I do. She said, I'm not going to be a part of this insanity. It is amazing, isn't it, how something evolved over a period of time where we will just get into this after Thanksgiving shopping. It's just absolutely amazing. It's been going on for a lot of years. Have you ever wondered where it started? Well, someone was sharing some concepts about this with me, and they said it really started a long time ago when there basically were three major seasons in a year for buying in the retail industry. Christmas was major, Easter was major, and then school was a major time. People didn't have credit cards. They weren't able, and they didn't have a lot of money. They weren't able to do shopping all year round like we do today. So these patterns for specific sales and for buying things started up a long, long time ago. And what has happened, it's just compounded over the years. And so we have what we call our big buying moments right the day after Thanksgiving. And then, of course, there's always the sales just before Christmas comes and right after Christmas when all these retailers are wanting to get rid of their inventory because they've got to make room for the new stuff that's coming in. It is a fascinating, fascinating phenomena. And we gals usually will try to figure out this patterning and figure out when we want to go do our shopping. And I would say the majority of the shoppers out there that are shopping today are not the guys. It's the gal. We are out there because that's what we do. We want to do the best we can for our families, and we want to do it for the best price. But lots of times people get together on this day. It's a fun day. And they go out and they have a good time. They celebrated holiday, and now it's to see what's coming out because the stores are decked out with all of the wonderful holiday trappings. And speaking of that, you know, so many of us are pulling our stuff out of the closet because we're wanting to get ready for the holidays. And if you've got a busy schedule, you're trying to figure out, what can I do? I want to make this simple. I don't want to make it complicated. Well, if you're a person that saved your holiday cards, you can really use them to showcase what you want, and it can decorate your house just so very, very nicely. You can use all kinds of photo displays with whatever you've got. You can buy some of these digital units that will allow you to put the reproductions of your cards in there, and you can cut out holiday theme designs. The kids can get involved with this, punch a hole in the top, and string them with ribbon for a tree ornament or a gift tag. You've got all kinds of wonderful things you can do. Also, if you've got a whole bunch you've saved up over the year and you want to get rid of them, go to your town recycling center and ask if they accept cards and give them to them. They'll put them through the recycle bin. Just remember, you're just beginning the holiday season, and there's a lot of wonderful ways that you can decorate that don't have to cost you a whole bunch of money, and we'll be sharing that with you in the days upcoming. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and I'm going to share that utterly fabulous recipe that was a winner and will be a winner for you, too. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Don't forget you can give me a call, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 877-876-5227. 888-815-9756 if you're Canadian. 530-876-3222. Okay, I promised you this cake recipe. Believe me, it is a winner. It is absolutely awesome, and people will think you spent hours doing this, and it doesn't have to take hours to prepare. It is really something, and if you love chocolate and you like a real rich cake, you are going to love this. And again, you can fix this the day before, and you just can cover it. You can just cover it with a piece of wax paper over the top, or if you have a nice cake pan with a lid, you can do that too. Now, this is the Creole chocolate cake. Here are the ingredients that you're going to need. You're going to need 2 cups of unsifted flour, 2 cups of unsifted flour, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/2 cup of butter, or, you know, if you like to use margarine, you can do that. I am a butter person, so it's 1/2 cup of butter, and 1/2 cup of oil, 1/2 cup of oil. You need 3 squares of unsweetened chocolate, 3 squares of unsweetened chocolate, 2 cups of sugar, 2 cups of sugar, 2 eggs, and you want to beat those, and 1/2 cup of sour milk. Now, sour milk, all you need to do to make that is to take 1.5 teaspoons of vinegar, put it in a 1 cup measure, and fill it with milk until it's 1/2 cup of liquid. And then you have 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. Now, these are the ingredients you're going to need for the filling. You need 1 can of evaporated milk, 5.3 ounces, 1 can of evaporated milk, 3/4 cup of sugar, 3/4 cup of sugar, 1/4 cup of chopped seedless raisins. I didn't even chop them. 1/2 cup of chopped dates. You can buy those already cut up for you. 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1/2 cup of chopped walnuts or pecans, and you need 1/2 cup of chilled heavy cream. Now, for your frosting, you're going to need 6 ounces of semi-sweet chocolate pieces, 6 ounces of semi-sweet chocolate pieces, 1/2 cup of sour cream, and you need 1 pinch of salt. So you've got 3 different batches of ingredients here. Now, this is what you need to do, and I'll give you the Donna tips as we go along. You want to preheat your oven to 350 degrees, and then you want to take your sifter, put in your 2 cups of flour along with your baking soda, and sift it into a large bowl. I would recommend that you buy 8x8x2-inch baking pans at the store. It's really easy. Just buy them, unless you happen to have them in your kitchen. You want to grease them, use a nonstick cooking spray, spray them, and then lightly dust them with flour and put them to the side. Now, in a small saucepan, you want to take your butter, your oil, and your chocolate squares and stir them until the chocolate and the butter melt over low heat, and you have to stir it constantly. When you have gotten it all stirred and it's all melted, you then add a cup of water. Now you put that to the side because it's going to need to cool. Now while that is cooling, you want to then start working with your flour mixture. You want to add your sugar, your eggs, the sour milk, and your vanilla. And you can mix that. I used my mixer. I just went and put that thing in there, and in just a couple of minutes, it was mixed. Then the cooled chocolate mixture, and it has to be cool, you pour that into your flour mixture. And you can use a mixer, but it must be on a very low speed because it's going to add so much liquid that it will be spraying all over you if you're not careful. So you can use a wooden spoon to blend the liquid in, but remember that chocolate liquid must be cool. Otherwise, it's going to affect the flour and the baking soda, and this will not rise. Now, these are not going to be thick cakes. These are going to be in these two 8-inch square pans. And what you do, you will, as soon as you mix that, then you want to pour it into your prepared pans, pop them in the oven, and you bake it for 30 minutes at 350. Then, while that's baking, you want to do your filling. And you will take and put your milk, your sugar, and a quarter of a cup of water in a small saucepan. You mix it well. You cook it over your medium heat, stirring to dissolve the sugar. Then you add your raisins and your dates, and you keep stirring until it thickens. It can take anywhere, dependent on the type of pan you use and the temperature you're cooking at. 5 minutes, it took me 10. Meanwhile, my cake is cooking. Then you add, after it's nice and thick, believe me, you want it real thick, it's going to take some time, you add your vanilla and your nuts, and then you cool it completely. And what I found is that I took it out of the pan, and I poured it into a bowl that had a nice wide bottom to it. And then I would stir it every couple of minutes. Remember, your cake is baking in the oven. So you let it cool. And you have to remember to go back and stir it so that the heat will evaporate out of it. Then, once your cakes are finished, you bring them out, you put them on a cake rack, let them cool for 5 minutes, and then take them out of the pans and let them cool completely before you put your filling on it. If your filling is slightly warm, you still can put that on your first layer. Now, I went and put it on my serving plate that I plan to serve it on and put the first layer, and you put it top down. Top down. Then you take your filling, and if it's still a little bit warm, that's okay. And you just go ahead and you put it over the flat bottom surface of that first layer and get it all the way to the edges. You want to really smooth it out nicely. Then your whipped cream, that half a cup of chilled whipped cream, you want it to heavy cream. You want to whip it so it's really stiff. And then you go and you put that over your filling. And your filling, again, will be nice and cool. So there you've got that whipped cream on there. Then you take and you put your second layer on top of that. And I have large skewers that I put in to hold my cake into place so that it doesn't slip or slide with the whipped cream. And I just put one or two skewers in there to keep the cake centered. Then with the frosting, it's really, really easy. You just melt your chocolate pieces on top of a double boiler over your hot water, and you remove the top of the double boiler from the hot water once those chocolate pieces have melted. And then you stir in your sour cream and your salt, and you just keep stirring it until it's all blended. Let it cool for about 5 minutes until the frosting can be spread. And then just cover your cake with it, the top first and then the sides. And then if you're going to serve it the same day you fix it, be sure you have it in the refrigerator for at least an hour. I did it the day before the event and took it, and then we let it sit at room temperature for about an hour, hour and a half while we were having dinner. It is awesome. Absolutely awesome. And I might be putting this in my Christmas newsletter. Not positive, but I might. Oh, my goodness, we're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. Wherever you are, I hope you're having a fabulous time. And we'll be back with you on Monday talking about the world according to Simpson. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.